This sound was recorded on the 7th of February, 1966, medium low percent.
Hello,
Rosie.
Hmm? Hello? Hello there. Rosie. Oh, Tess. Stephen.
Yes.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello, how are you?
My pal's back.
Yes, did you think that I deserted you?
Oh, no.
What did you say? I say, it's very interesting what's happening now about this moon business.
Yes.
Looks as if they're going to be successful in landing there. But no. I don't think there is very much on the moon, is there?
It's just waste land, isn't it?
Well, I should imagine so. I mean, I really don't honestly know too much about this, but on some of the planets, definitely there is life. Very similar in some instances to Earth life, I gather, but from what I've heard, there's no life as you understand it on the moon. Seems to be quite bereft of human beings, anyway.
Yes, so they say.
It'd be very interesting, isn't it?
Yes, but by getting to the moon, if they succeed, they might be able to get to other planets.
Oh, you mean sort of have stations there and then have other spaceships to go on to other planets? Goodness me, travel in the future by cooks is going to be exciting.
Yes, have you seen these spaceships that they're already been talking about for a very long time now?
Oh, I know what you mean. No, I haven't.
Yes. You haven't.
No, but I believe there are beings of a very high order on certain planets. Some, of course, who are very evolved, who yes. Evidently have been trying to make contact with Earth, but I haven't really learned a great deal about this yet, but I hope to, because I find it also very fascinating.
Well, I would
love... Then, of course, I think, too, from what I gather, yes. When we talk about our life over here, and we talk about our world and worlds,
yes.
That really all these other planets yes. Are inhabited by people who have lived on Earth previously. In other words, when we talk about coming over, I think we talk about, without perhaps fully making it clear to you, we are talking in a sense, and certainly very definitely, about these other worlds. These other worlds are some of these planets, you see.
Oh, yes.
You see, there are millions. I mean, people don't realize that there are literally thousands upon thousands of other planets. And these planets are inhabited, many of them, by souls who've obviously lived on Earth perhaps thousands of years ago. And they're all in different states of evolution. Some are very highly evolved and some are not so evolved. But I really don't know sufficient yet, and I wouldn't like to... You know, sort of say anything too definitely until I know more certainly, but I have come to the conclusion and I have been told that certain planets are inhabited by souls who once lived on Earth, and they are some of the spheres which we talk about. But you see, this business of going from one source of life to another is a sort of form of death, I suppose, but whereas on your side you may only live 60, 70, 80 years, or perhaps at the very most 100 odd, over in some of these planets you can live, as far as time is concerned, thousands of years. And then when you've exhausted all that life can offer you on that particular planet or sphere, so you go into a new environment and a different sphere and planet altogether. But at the moment, of course, I can't give you any more detail, but you see, if we can, it's all to do with time, which in a sense we know is an illusion, but when you consider that so many planets are so many million light miles away from Earth, and so it is that we can be separated from other planets or other spheres by 7 million light years, and of course time then becomes, well, doesn't have any real meaning.
Oh.
You see, that is why when you talk about, now for instance, your Earth life may seem long, but we know it isn't, and it's very short really, but it's only because of measurement of time. But outside time, over here, where you have, well, such a vastly different outlook, and indeed one's body itself is so sort of changed, one's, as I've often said to you and others have no doubt said, this feeling of lightness, this feeling of not in any way being impeded or hampered by by a physical body. We are in ourselves living in a mental and a spiritual state far removed from anything you can understand. And quite frankly, I don't even know how one can hope to explain it to you. But there's a greater awareness and consciousness, not only of one's own condition in which you find yourself here, but it is as if in some strange way you are beginning to sort of become conscious of and aware of other conditions around and about you. You may not, as it were, be able to see those things or conditions of life or even the people that inhabit them, but you become subtly aware and conscious of them. As you sort of mentally sort of open up, you become more, as it were, in tune, I suppose. It's most peculiar, this, because we talk about auric emanations and auric conditions, and we talk about buildings which have reality, which are as solid to us as yours are to you. All this is very true, but at the same time, even though you're existing in a life which is as real to us as yours is to you, and as solid as yours is to you, so is ours to us, at the same time, there is this consciousness that there is in the atmosphere around us a greater and a wider consciousness or state of being, which we're in a subconscious state, if you like, conscious of or aware of. For instance, you can be entering into and becoming, as it were, fully aware of your own surroundings, and yet impinging on that in a strange kind of subconscious way is the feeling and nearness of other thoughts and other ideas. It's as if, perhaps it is, that I'm in a particular state at the moment of change, of which I'm not fully aware. And I should hardly have thought that I'd been here long enough to merit leaving this particular sphere and condition of life in which I find myself. But I am, as it were, becoming more attuned, I suppose, into something else which has not yet fully revealed itself to me. And when this time comes, as no doubt it will, then that which is at the moment something which I'm subconsciously aware will become reality, and that which now is a reality to me will cease to exist. And I think that's what you might call a form of death, although really it's an extension, of course. That's what it really amounts to. I mean, the same thing can apply on your side.
Yes.
You can be living in your world, but you can have an extension, as it were, of consciousness. Of course, that's what mediumship really is.
I see.
I mean, a medium who really is mentally and spiritually evolved, and there are so few, of course, and one mustn't confuse this with psychic evolution or development, because there is a subtle, in fact, there's a very big difference, really, because there are many people on your side who are psychic, who are psychically aware or psychically conscious, but there is a vast difference between the psychic and the spiritually conscious and aware, that so few people seem to evolve or develop. It's something which obviously is a sensitized being reaching out, not always fully conscious or aware of it perhaps, but it's there. It's not only just seeing spirits or not only being in communication with spirits. This, I know, sounds very sort of at variance with what I'm trying to convey, but it's true to say that although you can communicate with spirits, it does not mean to say that you're always, of course at times you can be, depends on how tuned in you are and what vibration or what sort of condition you're sort of reaching out to, but there is a vast difference, because there is a vast untapped source, if you like, that's what I feel, of consciousness, which is not easily reached. Not even by perhaps people on this side who are going through a condition of development or consciousness or evolution. In other words, it's something that springs from the innermost soul of the individual. You see, you can scratch the surface, you can sort of tune in, you can be in contact, you can receive messages, you can receive personal proof and evidence from people you know and people that you love. But they may be coming to you. Maybe, of course, in some instances they cannot do otherwise and enter into your conditions of life on a lower level so that you can be reached and so that you can understand to some extent what they're trying to convey, particularly when it comes to personal matters. But the point is, so few mediums particularly and so few people in your world who are interested in this subject really are striving to get onto the conscious level of spirit of a high order. And that is, I think, the most important thing of all, that when you've gone through a phase, as most people must do in their early initial stages of communication and searching, is to realize that you should then be opening up your innermost self, or soul, if you like, to these conscious thoughts, which are very powerful and very strong, that are being sent out to you from spheres far removed from Earth. And the entities that come to you, they will, when they realize that consciousness is there on your path, that searching, that desiring for something far removed from the mundane and the ordinary, which is, of course, the common lot of most communications, you do then feel, and you do know, because the subtle changes that take place in the mediumship, for instance, of a medium, and the communications are such, that you know immediately that you have bypassed, if you like, what I would call the, I suppose it's as near as one can put it, the astral. Because I don't think people realize that all around the earth is this astral form of existence. It is a consciousness of individuals and souls who have left behind sometimes astral shells. Now, I don't know how to explain this, but in communication sometimes a soul coming from a higher sphere will have to utilize the astral shell to make a sort of link with your world. In other words, they have to sort of use something which is of a lower order, which is nearer to Earth, before they can register. But those astral shells in themselves are only revitalized or brought to life by the consciousness of the individual concerned from the higher sphere. But in consequence of having to use them, in other words, sort of bring down their consciousness onto a certain level, a lot can be lost of what they themselves wish to convey. That's why, for instance, in a circle of this nature, or communication of this nature, it's so vitally important to have a sitter, or sitters if you like, and of course the medium must also, be of a high caliber from the point of view of aspiration. I mean, so many, many people attend seances. They receive communications which are of interest and of help to them and comfort to them and of value to them. And the point is that so much is on a vibrational level which is so near Earth, which is really this sort of, this astral condition.
Yes.
You see, I want particularly, I mean, I don't profess to be highly spiritualized, but I realize the potential, I realize the possibility. In my own condition of life here, I'm realizing all the time this greater power, this greater force, this greater realization of the possibility within myself and around and about me. All the time, it's as if you're sort of trying to reach out and reach up to a greater knowledge and a greater experience. And I feel that so much of this could be brought down to the earth and given in such a way that it would make sense. I mean, it would certainly be so beneficial rather than the ordinary. I mean, so easy for someone to come, I say easy, it's never easy, but it's easier anyway, for a person to come on a certain level and to discuss things on a certain level and to give certain information which, for the time, satisfies. But you see, I think that when one has been, as you have, for so many years on this subject, and you have a medium who has the power, the possibility of this extrasensory sort of perception of things on a much higher level than has yet been reached or achieved, I think we ought to sort of strike out on that line and bypass all this rest. You see, now, with all due respect to our friend, but when you bring someone new, I know your desire is to help them and comfort them and so on, all that's very admirable. But I feel that there are other circles and other ways. I mean, I feel that we, you know, perhaps I'm being self-centered, I don't want to be, but I feel that it's a pity because we are sort of, in a way, putting our real work aside, putting sort of the things that we want to do,
yes,
which we might achieve if we keep on a certain level.
Yes,
it's no good sort of chopping and changing and sort of, I know there are times when obviously the power's not good or the atmospheric conditions are bad or the medium's not well or something, but we get so few opportunities. I mean, you may say, oh yes, well, I sit twice a week, I'm very privileged. Well, in a sense, I suppose you are, but to me, I speak for myself, to me it isn't anywhere near enough. Actually, I'd like to sit every night, you know, I mean, communicate every night, because we can sort of keep building up, you see, but we've got to keep building. It's no good sort of breaking it up and introducing new factors, new influences and so on, then it's certainly no good having someone who's sort of all on edge and you know, sort of worried and sort of, oh dear, I don't know if I should be here, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, and I don't know whether, you know, I mean,
yes.
you and the medium together, and we who come to you, we whom you know and trust, and the people that are involved in this work. I mean, Marshall and all the others are all tremendously excited and interested in reaching a much higher level of communication. But to do this, we've got to preserve it and conserve it. In other words, we've just got to keep it. If you like, I can't help it if it does seem so selfishly to ourselves. So
yes,
please,
I,
in the
I
future,
understand.
I do hope you'll try and keep it to us. And if you want to help someone else, then give them a special evening or something. Don't let it interfere with our own sessions. Make it a special do for them.
All right, Stephen.
I mean, you can always say, oh, well, look, can you arrange a sitting on Tuesday or Friday for so-and-so? Don't let it interfere with our sittings.
Oh, I see.
Do you mind?
Oh, I don't mind. It's a good suggestion, but I won't bother about anything just now, until I see what happens. I don't know.
Well, anyway, that's how I feel about it, because, quite frankly, I'm so thrilled, so excited, so interested in all this. You might say to me, oh, well, yes, it's all very new to you. Well, of course it is. But the point is that when the thing is, as this is to me, it's so full of possibility, I feel in my own sort of stupid way, if you like, as probably as the Russians or the Americans must feel when they're trying out a new spacecraft or whatever it is, wondering what sort of success they're going to have or what's going to happen and so on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a spirit of adventure, if you like.
Well, it's just like a person like you who would be very interesting for a person
course, you know,
like
sometimes
you
sit
on the earth.
You see, the point is that perhaps I'm sort of terribly intense, but then I can't help it, that's me.